When I consider the faithfulness of God, I think of all the times I've felt like I come up short or I've missed the mark or made mistakes, and I think we all can identify with that. But He is faithful. He never lets us go. I picture, you know, the idea of a father and a son or a father and his child, and I think sometimes we think God must kind of get sick and tired of us and might walk away or might wait for us to get our lives figured out. But I want to tell you, that's not true. That's not true. He is faithful. He is firm in His promises. He doesn't go back on them. When He says He's faithful to you, that's undoubtable truth. So even when He feels distant, and even when you maybe haven't been faithful, because we all come up short, don't we? But even when you haven't been faithful or made mistakes, He's standing right there, holding out His hand in His steadfast faithfulness to you. Is God worthy of praise? Is He worthy of your worship and your honor and your songs and your prayer? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, we thank You this morning for Your faithfulness to us, that You are steadfast. You don't wander away. You're a rock that we can stand on. And even when we feel like it's beyond hope, You're there, ever, ever steady, ever reaching out, ever approachable. God, I want to thank You for that this morning as we praise and worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Would you give a hand to the worship team as well, please? Serve You so well this morning. Appreciate you guys. Good morning, Mount Helena Community Church. Appreciate you joining us this Sunday morning and coming to worship with us. Worship is a very important part of your spiritual journey, engaging with God in praise, learning from the Word today, as we will shortly, and just fellowshipping with one another is so valuable and important. So I'm glad that you chose to spend some time this morning with us to continue your journey with Christ. If you're a guest, if this is your first time or one of your first times here at Mount Helena, I want to welcome you. My name is J.R. Quigley. I'm the senior leader here at Mount Helena. We are glad that you're here. We like to know that you're here and a guest, because sometimes we don't always catch our guests before they leave. But if you want to grab a welcome packet on your way out today, you sure can. We also have a Connect card that we'd love to hear. Just have your contact information, maybe reach out and see how your journey's going, and see if we can be of help to you in that. So you could grab one of those Connect cards out by the giving station and leave that for us would be great as well. We would appreciate that. Before we continue in our series, I have one quick announcement for you. Coming up March 16th is our after-service prophetic ministry. What that is we have people that you sign up if you want to be prayed for, and members of our prayer and prophetic team, particularly our prophetic team, will gather around you and pray for you. And we believe that God brings words of encouragement and comfort and revelation for people. And so if there's something that you've really been asking God about and you want our prophetic team to come around and pray for you and maybe see if God doesn't have something for you as well, you'll have to sign up for that. There's a sign up out there on the Welcome Center. There is also a sign up online that you can sign up there. But the deadline for that will be next week. So the prophetic ministry is coming up the 16th, but the deadline to sign up is the 9th. So you'll want to get that here in the next few days. Let us know that you want to be a part of that. We invite you to do that. We've been in a series on hearing God. Our small groups have been going through it, a number of them. We've been preaching messages on it. Maybe you got the workbook and you've been working through that. Today will be our fourth message on hearing God, and I want to welcome my fellow friend and elder, Mr. Tyler Redden, up to the pulpit this morning, and he's going to bring the message for you. So it's all yours, buddy.
Thanks, sir. Good morning. Man, so good to be with you. Happy early spring. I'm quite excited about that. I am one that needs light and warm for my soul. I want to start this morning by showing you a picture of, well, you know what? I'm just going to show you this picture. I want to see if anybody knows who this is just by her face. Show of hands. Anybody know who this is? One? Okay. Two? Good. Three? Four? Good. All right, so for those of you who don't know who this is, I'm going to put her name up. I'm going to see if this helps. Her name is Catherine Coleman Goble Johnson. Does that help? Show of hands now who knows who this is. Okay, so about 10 people in the room of about 300. If you don't know who this is, do not feel bad. I'm going to show you another picture and a name this time of somebody you may recognize. There he is. That's Mr. John Glenn. The date was February 20th, 1962. And John Glenn sat at the top of a 95-foot-tall space shuttle at Cape Canaveral. Now, after 11 different delays, that means John Glenn had to walk that path 11 different times. After 11 different delays, the communicator on the ground named Scott Carpenter finally said the words that we've heard before. He said, "Godspeed, John Glenn." And the Mercury Atlas VI blasted off. It reached a velocity of, they say, about 17,000 miles an hour. It orbited Earth three times, and then it splashed down later, 5 hours, about 800 miles southeast of Bermuda. John Glenn became an instant hero, right? So what does that have to do with Catherine? What does that have to do with the picture that not a lot of people knew? Well, without Katherine Johnson, there would be no John Glenn. Katherine is a real-life example that even our heroes need help. See, the great challenge that NASA was facing at the time, it actually wasn't getting a man into space, it was returning that man safely to Earth. And that's where Katherine came in. Because Katherine, she had this mind for calculating these trajectories, and she was one of the brightest mathematical minds on the planet Earth at the time. It's been said that when calculating trajectories, no one was better than Katherine Johnson. The funny thing was, NASA, a few years earlier to this, they purchased their first IBM computer. I tried finding a picture. This thing, I mean, to say it took up the size of a room was an understatement. This thing was huge. But John Glenn is on record saying, "I trust the human brain more than these, quote, machines," he said. In fact, when he was sitting on top of the space shuttle, he said he wasn't ready to take off until Katherine checked the numbers. John Glenn is quoted as saying, "Get the girl to check the numbers." Now, it's entirely possible that if Katherine didn't do what she did, I don't know that John Glenn would have done what he did. And this is a little bit of trajectory in my mind, but if John Glenn didn't do what he did, it's very possible that we wouldn't have landed a man on the moon. So here's my point. There are people in history that we've never heard of. There are these hidden figures who've changed the course of history in ways that we're totally unaware of. But I will tell you this, behind every John Glenn, there is a Katherine Johnson. And that's true in scripture as well. I mean, think of all these names, like these heroes of the faith that we know of, like Moses and David and Esther and Elijah and Timothy. Behind every one of those characters, if you will, behind every one of those people, they had people in their corner. They had people that you may or may not know their names: Aaron, Benaiah, Mordecai, Elijah, Paul. And the same thing is true in our life as well, isn't it? Just like space exploration, I would argue that life requires these trusted voices to guide us. Life requires these trusted voices to challenge us and, yes, help us land safely. You know what? I'm even going to take that a step further, because I really believe that no one actually accomplishes great things alone. I just don't think, we're just not built that way. In the Garden of Eden, what did God say to Adam? He said, "It's not good for you to be alone." So God places trusted voices in our life to guide us, correct us, and help us reach our potential. So the good news is, that's what we're talking about today. Week 4 of our Hearing God series. This series, I've been really enjoying this series, because if you haven't been with us so far, let me just give you a little catch up for you. We're dealing with a concept. It's a pretty lofty concept. It's this concept of hearing God's voice, which, when I think about that, that can really be intimidating, can't it? That is a big thing. But I think most of us would say, if we just think about that, who wants to hear the voice of God? I mean, think about all these big decisions. Like, yes, we have the little decisions, but all these big decisions we have in our life, like, should I take this job, or should I marry this person, or what about my kids? Are they going to be okay? I think if we had the choice, we would elect to hear the voice of God. The good news is, we've been talking about this and ways to do that. So the first 2 weeks, JR and Scott did a great job of talking about how we hear God through the Bible, how we hear God through God's word. And then last week, Jason did a great job of how we hear God through the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to give you another piece. These three things, they form together a solid foundation of how to hear God's voice. So again, week one, we learned about the word, which is the promise of God. Week three, we learned about the Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to learn about trusted voices, the people of God. So this brings up an interesting question in my mind. Let's think about this. If we have the word, so we have the Bible, we have the 66 books, and we have the Holy Spirit. So we have the Bible, the word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit inside of us. Why do we need people? I mean, think about that for a second. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit. Why do we need people? The answer to that is there is a verse in the Bible that is one of the scariest verses that I can quote. This verse I think about, I would say weekly, because it gives me a lot of pause. And this is the answer to our question. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Does that not scare anybody else? Because that verse right there describes how you live your life every single day, because it describes how I live my life. I live my life, I make decisions that I think are the best way to go about the thing, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't be going about the thing that way. I would do it a different way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it is the way of death. So case in point, this was quite a number of years ago, Leslie and I were, my wife and I were on a road trip with some friends of ours. We lived in Michigan at the time. And this was back, I'm going to date myself here, but for the young people, this will be fun. We were using one of these, they were called GPS units. You mount them on your dash. It looks something like this. And so this was before TikTok and phones. This is, you know, the problem was with these is they were great when the maps were updated, but nobody ever updated the maps. Like, who actually updated those? Seriously, nobody. Yeah, okay, well, three people, great. I didn't. I'm a tech guy. I still didn't update them. So here we are. We're taking this road trip. Me and my buddy are in the front seat. We got the GPS. For some reason, I still don't know why we did this. We named our GPS unit. Her name was Wendy. W-E-N-D-Y. I don't know why we did that. So we're in the front with Wendy. The gals are in the back. And you have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we were driving through Chicago at the time. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. We were driving through Chicago at the time. And Wendy was giving us counsel. She was telling us, go this way, go this way. And you ever seen that movie, National Lampoon's Vacation? We're getting into some sketchy parts of Chicago, like, lock the door. We're looking around, but Wendy is like, go. She's not doing recalculating. She's not doing that. We're driving straight ahead. Well, here's the problem. We knew it was sketchy, but our wives in the back had paper maps. So they're like, no. You don't listen to Wendy. You need to go this way. What to do? We have a choice to make. Do we listen to Wendy or do we listen to our spouses? There is a way that seems right to a man. I really wish that I could tell you that we pulled over, we looked in the back seat, and we said to our wives, ladies, you are so wise and beautiful. Help us in our greatest hour of need. We didn't do that. We said, well, we're going to go with our instinct on this one. We listened to Wendy. And we got into some sketchy parts of town. I will just leave it at that. And so finally, after turn, we pulled over and we said, okay, what does the paper tell us? There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way of death. So what do you do? What do you do? There's another verse in Proverbs that I want to show you. A couple chapters back, it's Proverbs chapter 12, and it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Okay, this is what we kind of just saw. So what's the antidote? Here's the antidote. But a wise man listens to advice. So the question becomes, do you want to be a fool or do you want to be wise? We want to be wise, of course. There's one more verse in Proverbs I want to show you in chapter 15. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. I think we're getting the idea here, right? That there is wisdom in trusted voices. So along with the Bible, along with the Holy Spirit, if we want to discern God's voice, our chances go up with people in our lives, don't they? So this leads to another question then in my mind. Does the Bible say anything about what kind of people we need in our lives? I mean, can we just keep the news going 24 hours a day? Is that okay? Is there any criteria or things we should look for? Very good. Please don't keep the news going 24 hours a day. That's the comment I heard, yes. Yeah, absolutely. The Bible is full of wisdom. And I want to show you, because I want this to be really practical, so I want to show you what the Bible says. But before we get to that, before we get to the practical, I want to give you a little bit of a warning sign. And this is funny, just the way that God works. Yesterday, I was in the car wash, and my check engine light came on. And I was like, that's weird, because I'm going to talk about, like, you know, the analogy of a check engine light. Yeah, I didn't do anything with that either. So I'll get to it maybe one day. So a little check engine light. When you're considering a trusted voice in your life, there's this element that I've thought about over just my years as a Christian, and the check engine light is this. When you hear somebody say, and keep with me because I'm going to say this and somebody's going to bristle at this. It's okay. When somebody says, I heard from God, end of story. And this is why I say a little bit of a check, a little bit of a warning sign, because I don't know if you've had this experience, but it's happened to me a couple times. If somebody says, God told me this, end of story. It's happened to me a couple times, and I get in this situation like, okay, why am I here? Like, if you're coming to me asking for counsel or asking for advice, and you say, I heard from God, boom. What that does is that extinguishes any possibility of counsel or any possibility of wisdom, because I'm not going to argue with God. I've made that decision long ago. So if you come to me and say, I heard from God, boom, we're going to talk about what we're going to order on the menu. That's what we're going to do. So a better way to go about that. Now, actually, let me say this. There are certainly times in life that I have been there where I'm like, you know what? I'm really confident of this. I'm really confident that God is leading me in this direction. Certainly, there's a time and season for that. That is probably more the exception than the rule. A better way to go about that would be, I really think that I sense God is saying this. What do you think? So I'm just going to throw that out as a potential warning sign, because here's a precedent we see for that in Scripture. You think about all these people that I just mentioned on the screen. Think about the experiences they had. So Moses, this person in the Bible who had all these major encounters, right? The burning bush and the mountain and all this, like seeing God, having an encounter with God, but yet he still went to Jethro, his father-in-law, for advice. Paul, he wrote the majority of our New Testament, right? He had this encounter on the road and he was struck blind, and yet God still sends him to Ananias to pray for him. David wrote so many of the Psalms and was considered a man after God's own heart, and yet continually goes to Nathan, the prophet. So there's this pattern that we see in the Bible that even after an encounter with God, there is the role of a trusted voice in your life. So let's get practical with this. What is a trusted voice? Who should I listen to? I'm really glad you asked that question. So what this looks like, trusted voice, number one, they always start with God's word. When I think about the trusted voices in my life, they always start with God's word. They always point me back to the Bible. This is the first, this is the biggest one. Why is this so important? Because we've talked about this quite a bit in the previous weeks, but there's a message in culture today that says, hey, if you love me, you'll agree with me on this, whatever this is. Like, if you love me, you'll let me do this. And that is just not the case. I'm going to tell you that. If it contradicts the word of God, that is not the case. I'm going to give you a really dumb example, but if you and I are hanging out, and hypothetically, we decide to stop in a sporting goods store, and I decide that it's a really good day for me to steal a pair of socks, I want somebody that's in my life that's going to call me out on that, rather than say, well, brother, your truth says you needed a free pair of socks today, you do you. It's not good. You want somebody that's always pushing you back to God's word. It is the standard. We've referenced this verse a couple times in the series already. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or woman of God, obviously, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Psalm, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. These two together says God's word is your guide. So when you're looking for a trusted voice in your life, ask yourself the question, is this person directing me back to God's word? Are they asking you questions like, well, what does the Bible say about that? A trusted voice will always point you back to the Bible. Number two, they love you enough to tell you the truth. I love this one. There's a scripture in the Bible that I think is really powerful, and that's, again, out of Proverbs, and it says this. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. What does that mean? What does that mean, a wound from a friend? You remember that old adage that is like, you want somebody to tell you that you have something in your teeth, right? It makes me think, I had a meeting a couple weeks ago at work, and it was me and a coworker and then another guy that we didn't know too well. Well, he knew him pretty well. And my coworker said this expression to the other guy that I've never heard before. We were in person, and my friend says, hey, you got a bat in the cave. I said, what? And he says, he's got a bat in the cave. And I was like, you know, so I grew up on superheroes. I'm like thinking Bruce Wayne, something. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what a bat in the cave is. He's like, he has something in his nose. I'm like, really? Is that a thing? Like, can we get like an email to go out to say like when this became a thing so I don't? So apparently, yeah, you got a bat in the cave. That's what you've learned today. So this idea that a wound from a friend can be trusted. One of my most vivid memories of this verse came a lot of years ago. JR and I were asked to join the eldership team as elders in training. And we were asked to attend an elders retreat. They did these every year. Actually, before I go on, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. I'm up here talking about trusted voices, and really the only reason that I'm up here is because of trusted voices in my life. For those of you guys who are new to us in the last few years, I want to tell you that there was a generation of leaders that came before us that... there's this verse in Genesis that says, in those days, there were giants in the land. And I always think of that verse when I think of these people because they are giants to me. And we are standing on their shoulders. Our former senior pastor, Brian and Margaret AC, Kevin and Laurel AC, David and Fawn Polk, Jane and Anita Shirley, you guys are giants. You'll never know how big you are in my mind. And the reason that we are here, and the reason that we are all sitting in this room, the reason Mount Helena Community Church exists today, no exaggeration, is because of those giants. So, back to the elders' retreat. We were having conversation, and one of the guys gave me some counsel that it was really hard to hear at the time. It was really hard to hear. But looking back, I'm so thankful for it. He looked me right in the eye, and I still remember everything about this moment. He looked me right in the eye, and he says, Tyler, you are really not good at confrontation. And I remember, wow, tell me what you really think. He says, no, you're actually bad at it, and you need to get better at it. And I remember thinking, that was a wound. And I mean, he was so wise because he's like, now you can go home and tell your wife that you got beat up at the elders' retreat, and you better believe it, I did. Actually, I didn't say that. But I think back to that moment and who I am today. And, you know, I don't think I enjoy confrontation, but I see it as a beneficial tool in the right context. I work for a state agency. I work for the DNRC, so fire is a lot of our business. And I tell people that I work with all the time, I said, listen, if your house is on fire, literally, if your house is on fire, you confront the fire. You don't let it burn. And so I've used that in that moment as a tool. That's what that means. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. You want the kind of people in your life that love you enough to tell you the truth. Number three, They see your potential even when you don't. This might be my favorite one. When you consider trusted voices, you want people that can see what you can't see. We all have blind spots, don't we? One of my favorite quotes that ever came out of the Global Leadership Summit was this one. It says, if you don't know what your blind spots are, guess who does? Everybody else. I love that because it's so true. There's this idea that we want people that see the potential in our lives even when we don't. There's this German philosopher, his name is Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, and he once said this. He said, treat a man as he is and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and should be and he will become as he can and should be. When I think of the trusted voices in my life, each one of them saw something that I didn't see. They called me up. They stretched me. They made me believe something that I didn't even really believe myself. One of my personal core values is hope. And underneath hope, I've written the statement, show them what they can't yet see. And I take that responsibility and that honor seriously, especially in my work. It's a privilege whenever I have that opportunity. It reminds me of the Old Testament. And there's, you know, we've all heard of Gideon and all the cool things he did, but there's this moment in the Old Testament I think about a lot. Gideon thought of himself as one of the weakest individuals from one of the weakest clans. He just had this thing about him. And yet, check this out. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. I love that. Because I don't think he was being insincere, the angel of the Lord. I don't think he was being sincere. I don't think he was blowing smoke. He saw something in Gideon that Gideon could not yet see. The Lord said, the angel of the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Those are a few of the qualities that you want in a trusted voice. They start with God's word. They love you enough to tell you the truth. They see your potential even when you don't. All right. So now what about on the other side? What about us becoming somebody who receives wise counsel? How do we do that? And as I thought about this, there's so many ways and things and questions we could ask. But as I thought about this, I narrowed it down to two because we only have so much time. But really, I think these two encapsulate quite a bit. So the first question, and I put these in terms of questions. So the first question, if you want to be a person who receives wise counsel, the first question is this. What am I not seeing here? One of my favorite questions to ask is, what are you not seeing about the situation? What am I not seeing about the situation? Because the older we get, right, the more experience we get, we kind of have this tendency to be like, you know what? I got it. I've been here before. I got it. But when a trusted voice enters the situation, you have the opportunity to ask, what am I not seeing here? The story that I mentioned earlier about Saul getting struck with blindness and then, you know, going to Ananias for prayer. There's a line in the story that I've been thinking about for really like the last 3-4 months, and I want to put it up on the screen. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He has sent me so that you may regain your sight. I know this is talking about physical blindness, but I think there's something more there. Because sometimes the trusted voices enter our lives to restore our sight. Sometimes we get so blind to whatever the thing is, we need somebody to restore our sight. Help us see what we can't see. So then a really good question, whenever you're getting counsel from a trusted voice, especially if it is correction, rather than being defensive and pushing, a really good posture to take is saying, okay, ask a question. What am I not seeing here? Which takes a lot of humility. The second question is this. How will I apply this to my life? How will I apply this to my life? Because it's one thing to receive counsel, but if you don't do anything with it, if you don't put it into action, then what's the point? Take the time to consider what the person's saying and how you're going to change because of it. In my previous job, like 6-7 years ago, I had a mentor that always told me, he says, there's two things you can control in life, your attitude and your effort. Those are the two things you can control. So in this, how you're going to apply this to your life, ask yourself, is it something about my attitude that needs to change? Or is it something about my effort that needs to change? Or to put it another way, is it something you're believing about the situation that you need to change? Or is it something that you're doing about the situation that you need to change? The question becomes, how are you going to apply this to your life? What am I not seeing? And how am I going to apply this to my life? All right, let me ask you one final question. So this concept of trusted voices, what if we actually believe this? Think about that for a second. Because here in about 10 minutes, we're going to wrap up the service and you're going to go about your day. But what if you actually believe this concept of trusted voices and put it into practice? What if, let's push that. What if each one of us had a trusted voice in our lives? I was talking with our good friend Mark Spencer a couple of weeks ago. Many of you know Mark. He's been here. He's a pastor. He's a counselor. But most importantly, he's a trusted friend. And I told him something that I'm seeing these days, especially in my generation and younger. And I told him, I said, man, we are the technology generation, right? I mean, if we don't know something, we're going to go online. We're gonna look it up. And in these days, we're going to ask AI. That's what we're going to do. And, you know, and he said, well, help me with that, which is a great question, by the way. He said, help me with that. He said, what kinds of stuff? I said, I don't care, anything. Busted pipe, maybe a check engine light. Maybe it's a fight that our spouses got in, you know. I mean, anything, whatever it is. We're going to find our solution through a keyboard. Now, let me preface this. I think there is actually a place for that. I think it's good to know what your tools are and to leverage them, use them. But I think, if I'm honest, there's a place inside all of us. There's a place inside me that says, man, I just wish that I had somebody to talk to about this. I wish I had somebody that I could say, hey, I've got a check engine light. What should I do? A lot of my day job revolves around working with people and helping them through different situations, which I'm super thankful for. And I'll just be honest, most of the time, the stuff that I'm dealing with doesn't get to me. But this week, there was a situation that I found myself thinking about for a few days afterwards. Like, I could tell my mind was spinning. And like, I was like, okay, do I need to change something about my attitude? Do I need to change something about my effort? Like, I'm doing all the things in here, but my mind just kept spinning. About like, okay, and it's like, okay, I need to do something. So in my world, it's not uncommon for me to explain the situation to AI and ask for ideas, because it is helpful. I leverage that quite a bit. But one of my goals for this year was to actually find a professional counselor, so that as I'm dealing with people, I can make sure that my own mental well-being is on track. And I mean, we can't get into it, but man, I've just had a heck of a time. And so this week, I'm so happy. I found, it's a long story, but found somebody. We had our first meeting, and you know, he's a Christian guy, just whatever, long story. But we had this conversation, and he just started asking me questions about this. He's like, well, have you considered this? Why do you think that is? And like, I was sitting there, and I was like, you're really good. Like, holy cow, like this stuff, A, I didn't think of this, and I didn't think of this. Like, this is really good. And he's just like, you might want to consider doing this. And so I texted my wife, and I said, I had a great session with my counselor. I found him. He's the one. And she's like, heart, 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 you know, all this. It was so helpful to me. So yes, tools and technology, they have their place. But this idea that I just wish I could talk to somebody about this, what if that was possible? What if that was possible? I want to tell you this morning that having a trusted voice is 100% possible for you. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. You ready? It starts with one choice. That's it. It's not another 3-point sermon. It's not a book you have to read. It's a single choice. And that choice is sending a text message or picking up the phone or walking across this room. The choice is initiating contact. That is your choice. It's one choice. That is the path to starting a relationship with a trusted voice. Invite the person to coffee or to lunch or a hike, whatever it is. And yes, I know, I'm sure somebody's saying, you know how hard that is? Yeah, matter of fact, I do, especially as men, because we have it figured out, don't we? We don't need help. Let me tell you the truth, you do. You absolutely need help. And ladies, same deal. I'm just talking to the men because I am one, but we were created in God's image, and God said it is not good for you to be alone. And so the path to a trusted voice is initiating contact. And so if this is you and you want a trusted voice in your life today, Sunday, March 2nd, who is it? I'm praying right now for you that the Holy Spirit would bring a name into your mind just like that. That it would bring that picture of somebody's face in your mind just like that. And now you would get to send a text or make a phone call, whatever it is, and just say, hey, can we go grab lunch? Can we go grab coffee? Do whatever. If you're on the other side of this exchange, if you are somebody that has some wisdom and has some experience, and today or in the days to come, if you receive what feels like a random text message, or if you receive kind of a weird phone call from this person you don't know that well, asking you to get together, can I tell you, it is not random. It is not random one bit. Chances are there is a significant amount of courage behind that request that you just got. And can I ask you, please, to lean into that? Can I ask you, please, that yeah, it might even be awkward. Doesn't matter. There was so much courage that just happened. Say yes. Go to coffee. Go to lunch. You know what? Pay for it, actually. Pay for the coffee. Pay for the lunch. Whatever it is. Because this person just demonstrated a huge amount of courage, and they want a trusted voice. So if you are that person, I would just ask you, say yes. Say yes. Because we have a chance, you guys, to hear the voice of God and be better people because of the trusted voices in our lives. That is the pattern that God has set up. We have a chance to see what we can't yet see. The final question I'll ask is, will you listen? Let me pray for you. God, a simple prayer this morning. I pray that we would be people that listen. That we would be people that listen to your word, that listen to the Holy Spirit, and to listen to the trusted voices, God. And Father, I pray for courage this morning, God, for those folks here that says, I don't have a trusted voice. I want a trusted voice. God, I pray that you would just quicken their spirits right now with who that is, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray they would send the text. They would make the phone call. They would walk across the room. They would initiate contact, Lord. And for those on the other side of the exchange, Lord, find us ready. Find us willing. Open up our schedules, Lord. Open up our hearts, Father, because we want to be people that do this thing together. Just pray a blessing upon our day, Father. I pray that our day would be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler. It was excellent. I hope you're encouraged to take some action with Tyler's message this morning. A lot of wisdom in there, so be ruminating on that in the days ahead. That's the conclusion of our service today. We do have a prayer team over here to my left that would love to pray with you about anything you're facing, anything you're wondering about, or just need some encouragement from God. You could approach them. They'd love to pray with you about anything like that. For everybody else, have a great rest of your day. If you're a guest, remember to grab a Connect card and a guest packet on the way out. We would appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you back here next week.